In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Probably there are no atheists in the room. All of us believe in God. The people in Corinth believed in God. But they had no faith. We're very confused in our society in America, 21st century, about belief and about faith. The way we are using the term belief now, because we are referring to a mental conviction. What are your beliefs? What do you think is true? What do you think is not true? Well, I believe that there is a God. I'm not an atheist. But we haven't given our hearts and our souls to God. When Christ says, "Believe in me," he's referring to belief in the heart and the soul, not in the mind, not in our convictions. But for 500 years in the West, belief has meant belief in the mind. We are free to believe as we please. Does that refer to belief in the heart, in the soul? It refers to belief in the mind. And we have come to believe that belief in the mind is sufficient. That if we believe in our mind that God is God, Jesus is the Christ, he died on the cross, descended into hell and ascended and arose and sits at the right hand of the Father, all of the things that we know about, all of the things that we have learned, all of the revelations about God and his work in the world, we believe all of them. But our heart belongs to ourselves. We show it by the way we live in the world. We don't live according to the life of Christ that we have been brought into to share. That's not how we live. Belief in our heart would come out in terms of a life in the world that isn't made up of unclean ways of living, but are not acceptable to Christ. They're acceptable by our society. What isn't acceptable by our society? We live in a society where everything is sold for a price. And the fact that it's worth something on the open market gives it a value. A value that we have to respect. That's how we live. Anything goes. But I believe in God. It's not enough to believe in God in the mind. We must believe at the center of who we are. That's what we mean when we say the heart. The heart is that open and empty space within ourselves that is meant to be filled by the living presence of God. But for the most part, it is filled with clouds of passions and desires and lusts and hopes and dreams that have nothing to do with God. That in many cases can't be fulfilled if we are involved with God in any kind of way. We can still believe in God in our minds and have that kind of a heart. A heart that is filled with the love of this world. We have given our hearts and our souls to this world. Even though many of us have given our thoughts about religion, our convictions in the mind, to God, God wants it the other way around. He wants our hearts. He wants us in the depths of our souls to belong to him and to believe in him and not in the world. Our minds belong to us. Our hearts belong to God. Even the devil believes in God. He has absolute and complete conviction of the existence of God, and he rejects him when it comes to how he's going to act. And his whole life, nearly from the time that he was created, has been devoted to bringing us into the same kind of world. And we share his world. We can be like the devil, at one with him in our hearts, living unclean lives in the world that we reject mentally, and loving God in the mind, a kind of mental vision. It can be very deceiving. It can feel very holy in our minds. We can even come to the divine liturgy. We can even go to confession and confess our sins in the mind. But nothing going on in the heart. Our heart belongs to ourselves. We can even come to the chalice and receive the body and blood of Christ himself and believe in him only in our minds. But our hearts we reserve for ourselves. And God expects it to be the other way around, and we are created to be the other way around. We are created for God to live in our hearts. That's where faith lives. Faith lives in the heart, not in the mind. There are ideas about faith in the mind, and they are all fine and good. And some of the fathers have used their very effective minds to write words to us, to communicate things to us about the faith. But they are not speaking to our minds alone. We can understand their words in our minds, but they are writing to us to communicate with us in our hearts, to change our hearts, to have a repentance in our hearts, to be given new hearts as we pray for during the divine liturgy. Give me a new heart, the priest prays. That's one of the prayers he's praying when he has his hands upraised. Cleanse my heart. Give me a new heart. That is the place of faith. And if our faith is there, then our action, our life in the world will be in common, in synergy, along with all of the saints, and along with Christ himself. We will be able to live the life that we were given to live. Belief in the mind can't do that. We can have a belief in the mind and go and live a completely different life. Just like the devil. In the words that we heard from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians this morning, he is trying to deal with the community of believers. They are believers. They are members of the church in Corinth. They are the leaders of the church in Corinth. And he is so frustrated with them, because they have put themselves above him and the message that he is trying to communicate with them. And so he gets so frustrated that he has to resort to irony, to making ironic statements, to saying things where he means exactly the opposite. And he's trying to turn them around by doing that. So he says these things when he means exactly the opposite. He says, you are honorable. We are dishonored and dishonorable in the world. You are strong and we are weak. We are of no account. You are wise and we are fools. And he reminds them of all of the ways in which he lives his life to the glory of God and to his own loss. And then he says, I'm not trying to shame you, I'm trying to warn you. There is something wrong with your faith. You have a belief in the mind, but your faith is in the world. That's why you see me, an apostle, and the other apostles the way you do. You are well established in terms of the world. You believe in the mind, but it doesn't affect what's going on in your heart. And there are barriers to this faith. It is our self-importance that stands in the way of faith. If we believe that we are important and we are central, then how can Christ be central? There will be no room in our heart for him, because our heart will be filled with ourselves and our lusts and our passions and our desires and our hopes and our dreams, and the mind will scheme in order to satisfy those passions. Those passions, those desires, they don't belong in the heart anyway. According to the spiritual fathers, Macarius and Anthony and the others, They are of the mind. They are from the mind. Our passions, our desires, and all the rest of that, they are imaginations of the mind. They are not our true selves. They are not what belongs in the center of who we are. They are not what belongs in the heart. Self-importance. If that is enthroned in our heart, then there is no place on that throne for Christ. Lack of humility. How can there be faith without humility? God humbles us in the world, and we respond by falling into despair because our pride is wounded. And then we ask God to help us to heal our pride. Look how I am despairing because these bad things have happened to me, or because I'm going through this difficulty in life of one kind or another. God, can't you help me so that I can restore my sense of well-being and my pride so that I can resume your throne in my own heart? That's not the kind of prayer that God will answer. When we are humbled by the things that happen to us, that's when we ought to turn to God in humility and tell Him, I see, Lord, that I have been humbled, and I know that I can do nothing without You. That You are what I need, and not all of these other things, and not all of these great feelings about myself that are illusions. And that humility, as we pray that prayer, results in the beginning of faith in the heart. And finally, willfulness. Willfulness for the sake of willfulness. For the sheer joy of exercising our will in the world and seeing that we can accomplish things by way of our will. We see it first in our own children. Willfulness for the sake of willfulness. No gain to themselves. No imaginable reason that they should be this way. That they should be so strong-willed. And we are amazed. This child, so strong-willed, look in the mirror. God is looking at us and seeing exactly the same thing. This man, this woman that I have created, so strong-willed for no reason, to their own detriment, believing that this is the most valuable and significant thing in their life, and when their will is forestalled, they despair. Just like that. Don't bother praying to God to heal your loss of self-will. The opposite is supposed to happen when we are brought down to reality. We are supposed to turn to God and pray to Him, knowing finally that it is His will that needs to rule in our heart and not our own. The apostles could not heal, the disciples of Christ could not heal the man in the passages from the gospel that we heard this morning. And they asked Jesus why. And He tells them, lack of faith. There are some people in the world so silly, some of them dressed in black, as they go out and try to convince people that how you can heal is by building things up in your mind. How you can heal your own broken heart. How you can change yourself from having a hard heart of stone into having a real heart by will of the mind. What's wrong with that? Will stands in the way of faith. Jesus is talking about faith. If you had faith the size of the grain of mustard seed, He says. So small a faith. You could say to this mountain, move, and it would move. There are mountains in the way of the apostles, of the disciples, and of all of us living the life that God is giving to us. There are mountains standing in the way. The mountain of our self-will. The mountain of our self-importance. The mountains of our pride. How can we deal with all of these things? I've tried, sometimes people say again and again, I just don't seem to be able to be guided in my life by anything other than my pride and my self-will. It is a mountain that I cannot move. Faith can move that mountain. It can blast it to bits. Faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can accomplish that. But it must be a true and genuine and real faith, not something that we cook up in our mind. Not something we cook up in our mind by way of our emotions, by way of our feelings. There is a real God to turn to, rather than turning toward ourselves and trying to cook things up in our mind and in our emotions to make ourselves believe more in the mind and believe more passionately in our feelings. And all of that time, what has God got to do with it? Nothing. Nothing at all. We're just building idols in the mind for us to worship. We're not going to be able to change by building new and better and more believable idols that inspire our passions even more so that we can worship them where we're actually worshiping ourselves. Those idols are some of those mountains that can only be destroyed by faith. Faith in our hearts, in Christ God, that can only come by way of humility after our self-will and self-importance have been destroyed by the reality of our own lives. At every junction point in our life, when things are difficult, we have a choice. Two paths, the path of life or the path of death. The path of death is always to try to rebuild our lives by building a new idol, a new image of ourselves, and putting maybe the face of Christ on it so that we believe that we are worshiping God and we are moving in exactly along the same path that we moved on that led us to that point of despair. Or there is the other possibility, choosing the path of life, the path of humility in the heart. Only, Jesus says, can this kind be dealt with by prayer and fasting. Fasting. Letting the body know, letting the passions know, letting the mind know that it does not rule, but that it is a tool to be used by the heart. Rather than scheming to build ourselves up, using our mind in order to figure out how we can deal in a more Christ-like way with those around us. So this is the difference between belief in the mind and belief in the heart. It is the difference of conversion. It is the difference of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is within you. That is true at every moment of the day. And how many times do we take the path toward life rather than the path toward death? Let us pray to God to keep us choosing the path of life, the narrow way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.